Okay, I have several things to say. One, Bart's doing a pretty good job with those.
I like these intros. Yeah. They're really good.
Yeah, of mixing in the sound clips with the right music
and stuff.
Yeah, second of all, that like superhero music is awesome, and we should use that more often. But mainly around when I'm talking.
You're so goofy. You're like the goofiest person that's ever existed.
Okay, I agree.
What was the song that you wanted to come out to in the beginning of every current show, but we couldn't because
of Royal? Eye of the Tiger. Okay. Dun, 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 dun.
You're a goofball, though. You're a goofball.
I am. It would have been awesome.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to go down a long hallway. Like, dun, 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 dun.
There were fog machines, and we were supposed to clap, remember?
Like, oh, it was great.
Like, you are a dear leader.
We should bring back that. No. So that was all done wrong, okay? Like, you throw that at me every time, okay? And it's totally bullshit.
It was so awkward.
No. So that is actually a great topic. Let me just dive into it for a quick second before we get on to the right-wing attack. So what I wanted to do, but didn't quite have the know-how or the balls to do it when we went to current, is I wanted like a badass intro, but like purposely over the top.
Yeah.
Like almost carrying
like a wrestler.
Like a wrestler.
Yeah.
I was thinking of coming in with a 2x4. Like, of course that's not serious, right? Hence the fog machine, and then you come out from behind the curtain, dun, 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 right?
Uh-huh.
And it would have been fun, but we half did it, or quarter did it. Then it looked super cheesy.
Yeah.
I didn't want you guys clapping. And the producers asked for that with all good intent, because they couldn't read my mind and the stupid shit I was thinking of, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite convey it right. So then it became like a fog machine, and I come out of that for no reason, and you guys clap, and it was like.
And there weren't enough. There's so many things about the current show that I think about now that make me laugh, because there weren't enough people in the room to make the clapping relevant or sound good enough, right?
Right.
So it kind of sounded like a slow clap or like the emptiest audience ever, and it's like, oh, why doesn't anyone watch this guy's show? That sucks. And then John wasn't part of the current show at all. He was actually new at that time. But he had a desk on the set, right? Because people were actually working as the show was happening. That was part of the set. And so sometimes John would be watching Married with Children as he was editing stuff. And so like the camera would go to certain angles and you'd be having like serious conversations, sometimes debates with Republican lawmakers. And right behind you is John's funny looking head with like Married with Children playing. I say funny looking head because he used to get the worst haircuts. They were like lopsided, kind of like Jinx when he goes to Supercuts. So many insults today. So many
agree
insults.
To disagree on a couple of fronts. First of all, I love this haircut.
It looks good.
Second of all, John does have a lopsided head, period, irrespective of haircuts. Third, I will randomly, since you're doing everything random today, randomly remind people that John looks 1,000 times more Italian in his pictures than he does on video.
It's so true.
It's the most true thing I've ever said.
Yes.
Here, I'll do a plug for his Twitter account, which I don't know what it is, but look up John Iadarola, not on Twitter, on Instagram.
Yeah,
look him up
on
Instagram.
John Iadarola.
Yeah,
if
you can
Jay
spell
Iadarola,
it. Good luck. Anyway, you'll see every picture. You're like, dude, oh, I get it, Iadarola. This dude's Italian. Okay. Anyways, so many parts of the current show, you'd be thinking,
I think it's weird.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, not the fault of the producers. I wasn't confident enough to execute the vision that I had.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, my first real TV show was MSNBC. This was immediately thereafter. And this is one of the few shows that current TV had. It was a lead into Keith Olbermann.
Yep.
There's a lot of pressure. It's very important to the network. It's the first show on the rundown, right?
Yeah.
And for me to come in and be like, dun, 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 here's exactly how you're going to do it, yada, yada. I thought, and you know me, I'm open-minded. So I wanted to get their ideas.
Yeah.
And thought, what do I know, right? And instead we mashed those ideas in an awkward kind of way.
Yeah.
Where a lot of times we wound up thinking,
oops.
There were also some questionable segments, like, I don't know why, at that time with my stint at TYT, even if I fought tooth and nail and people had you know, my best interest in mind, I would just by default fall into the cheesiest segments, right? And it would drive me crazy. So there was one segment that I was in charge of producing and hosting, and I thought it was the dumbest story that I've ever done in my life. Mm-hmm. Maybe even dumber than Camel Toe. It was a hyper-local story on a national show about these hyper-local officials getting involved in an affair. And I'm like, why am I reporting on this? And then when I realized I couldn't get out of it, I'm like, fuck it, I'm just gonna have some fun. And so the lower third just said, drums.
That's better. Yeah, that's what we were going for. Yeah. Like to do it like this, like tongue in cheek, have fun. It doesn't have to be like overly serious. Yeah. And look, now you're forcing me into three other comments.
I'm sorry, it's
that's
just
okay.
Natural right, conversation.
So first, let me defend the current show, because if you never saw it, you might think, oh, it was disastrous. It wasn't. It was certainly awkward at times, no question. But we brought the number of people watching that from zero to 100,000 people. Now, 100,000 in old cable is nothing. It's not that big a deal. Like when I had my earlier show on MSNBC the year before or right before was about 700,000 people a night, right? And sometimes even more. But to go from zero to 100,000 on that end of cable was a minor miracle.
Yeah.
And because we were the first show. We had hashtags coming in. We had zero coming in every night. And we'd build it up. We caught Oberman back when he was there briefly when we first came in. We caught Oberman in the demos in 2 months.
I mean, it's easy when they're turning his lights off.
It's a whole other thing I don't even want to get into, right?
I know.
And then we, on a lot of nights, we double every other show on the network. Mm-hmm, so we did it. I mean, we brought people there by hook or by crook, by pushing and pulling and yada, yada. Yeah. And by the end, we were having a lot more fun.
Yeah, just to add to that, there were segments that you did, like interviews and debates, that were awesome. And so those were the proudest moments of the current show. Mm-hmm. There were definitely great moments, but you know, when you combine an online show and an online staff with a television show and a television or people with a television background, things get clunky, right? Because honestly, we couldn't be more different when it comes to ideas, what works, time restrictions, things like that. You know, like it's hard to kind of mesh it together and make it seamless. And so those were the awkward moments. But even despite all of that, you're right, the show grew and we had really, really great important content on there. So I was proud of it.
No, there was a lot of amazing moments. When Andrew Breitbart did one of his last interviews, that just got quoted in Mother Jones just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
When Andrew said, we modeled Breitbart after Young Turks, which is, I mean, I don't know that I want that, but and then Rodney King, when I asked him, would you do it all over again for the amount of money you got, because he'd won like $20 million in a lawsuit or something, he's like, Cenk, they ripped my eye socket out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I wouldn't have done it. And I was like, wow. I was like, it's totally inappropriate question, but it was a powerful moment, right? And then Mark Hamill came in and Jerry Springer came in.
Yeah.
Larry Pratt had that famous moment, famous for us, but when I asked him about Trayvon Martin and I got him to a situation where he said, Trayvon, since he did not have a gun, did not have a right to defend himself. Because I said, well, if you're saying that, you know, that Zimmerman chased after him, doesn't he have a right to stand his ground? He's like, no, he doesn't, because he doesn't have a gun. So you can only stand your ground if you have a gun.
Yeah.
I'm like, so if you're defenseless, you can't fight back. He's like, yeah. But if you have a gun, you could just shoot someone and kill them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I literally jumped up and down. Like, I literally jumped up. I'm like, that's the most amazing and ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We did our first interview with Alex. Anyway, there was a lot of amazing. And the whole idea was having all those people there was that I was going to go to them every once in a while. That's still an idea I like. The entrance is still an idea that I like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But as it turned out, since it was too, every block was too small, we didn't have time to go to anybody. So, and we would have to plan it ahead of time, which then took away all the spontaneity and made it a lot less interesting.
Yeah, totally agree.
And so 8 out of 10 times we'd go to Michael Shore. And he was Epic Politics. Man, that was cute. That worked. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then Michael wound up getting the 9 o'clock show after Jennifer Granholm left. And he's still in the war room now. Remember the slogan they used to have?
Yeah.
There's always someone in the war room.
Yes.
I always thought, why? Why is that a slogan? Like,
Who cares? I'm sleeping. Why do I care that there's someone in the war room at 3 a.m.? It's a TV show.
So, oh my God.
But lots of fun times, lots of fun times. I didn't mind it when it was on air. I didn't mind that they sold it. I didn't mind any of that. And then finally, on that note, when we started the current show, and you say that, you said, because at that point in my tenure in TYT, it was 2011, which means that you were only 4 years into the Young Turks at that point. Now you're 10 years in.
Oh my God.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
That when we started Current, you'd only done 4 years. You were still Xiao Xiao at the Young Turks.
Wow. You know, I was very impatient. I was an impatient person. I was kind of like Haas. Like, I think of Haas because he wants everything now. He's like, wants to be a big star and like a big.
You know what he wants? He wants to have at it, Haas.
And I get irritated with him because I'm like, dude, in the grand scheme of things, you're still a newbie and you're killing it. So you're doing a great job. Stop getting discouraged by stupid shit, right?
He's the most discouraged man in America.
Yeah, and I'm like, he's like, oh, his video only got 4 million views. And I'm like, I want to murder you right now. Stop talking.
I know.
Yeah.
He says, that's a total false brag.
Yeah.
It's a humble brag. It's total bullshit.
Anyway, Haas is doing a great job.
Oh, my video only got 4 million views.
But I was definitely like that. Like, 4 years into TYT, like I should be, you know, I don't even know what I thought, but I should be covering all the hard-hitting news and and I think I was qualified to. I think I was super smart, right?
What are you?
Kind of like,
you know, I'm like a smart person.
Yeah. But now I kind of get it. Now I kind of get it.
By the way, still just as impatient today, right? I should be doing more. What should I be doing? I should be doing more. Okay. Anyways, all right. Now, finally, to the right wing attack. Okay. So I got a couple of tweets. On an average night, I will not check Twitter. Uh-huh. Not because I don't want to, just because I don't have time. And I don't care that much. Sometimes I'll check it just to see, like maybe after a show or something, to see what our actual audience is thinking.
Right.
Right. But for whatever reason, I checked it last night and. There's a bunch of tweets, enough for me to go, what are they responding to? Uh-huh. So then I click on it, and it's Mike Cernovich, the guy that Scott Pelley just interviewed for CBS. So he's the guy who did the deplorable, and then they got into the fight about whether they should hate Jews too or not hate the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
And now, look, that's the thing that drives me crazy. The media, they're so shallow. They're so, now they're interviewing every alt-right guy out there that has a blog or once tweeted or something because they're like, they won, so they must be super relevant. And these are the guys who have captured the imagination of the country.
Yeah, totally.
No, but hey, guys, why don't you just look at their numbers? Uh-huh. How many viewers do they have? How many readers do they have? No, they're side one, so they must be awesome. And since, I mean, whether it's Bernie's side or Hillary's side or whatever, you guys didn't win, so there's nobody watching you. All right, God, that's so painfully stupid. Okay, So now this Mike Cernovich guy who previously had been talking to 7 people on his blog or Twitter account or whatever he does, right? I literally don't even know what he does, right? Now all of a sudden is world famous. And Scott Pelley was like, okay, what does Mike Cernovich think? So he does this typical Armenian genocide attack. Because somebody just clued him in on it. Right?
Because I'm sure he's very concerned about the Armenian genocide.
He probably never heard of it in his life, right? So then what was hilarious, so that's terrible, like because they're using that as a prop and stuff like that. But what was funny was, and I hate to use the word funny in any context regarding this, is that then his own fans start getting into a fight in the retweets because he compared it to the Holocaust. And then his own fans are like, well, the Holocaust didn't really happen. I was like, oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. And then they're like, oh, the Jews are overstating it. And oh, why are you even supporting these? But there they are again. That while pretending to criticize me about the Armenian genocide, they can't even acknowledge the Holocaust.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah. So just to add to that, though, the thing is, these are people, they're clowns, right? And we know they're clowns. I think most smart people, our audience, know that they're clowns. But people who aren't in this space at all, who don't pay attention to politics, don't care about all this shit that we talk about, we're kind of in our own little bubble, let's keep it real, will come across some piece of stupid propaganda that these assholes put out there. And if they know nothing about any of us, they'll just believe it, right?
I know.
So one of the things that happens.
That's why they do it.
No, I know. I know. So one of the things that happens, and it's been happening quite often, is I'll get attacked on a regular basis by Armenians, non-Armenians, accusing me of not believing in the Armenian genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, first of all, if you just do a quick Google search, you'll find videos on this network, on our main channel, where I'm talking about the Armenian genocide and my family's experience with it, right? But like, they're not gonna do that research because they don't really care. They're gonna hear something that's outrageous and they wanna be mad and they'll be angry at me and then they'll send me death threats. And the thing is, there's a huge Armenian community here in LA, right? And so you rile them up and you make them think that I'm working for a Turk and I deny the genocide, they're gonna try to attack me, right? So they're gonna cause-
It's dangerous.
It really is dangerous.
It's like Pizzagate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, to be fair to Cernovich, I don't know why I'm bothering being fair to him. He's not the one that did the Holocaust comment. It was his followers, right? So he mentioned the Holocaust in the tweet,
yeah.
But it was his followers who were like, oh, come on, why are you even talking about the Holocaust? It's not even real. But on the Armenian genocide, they figured out Armenians are Christian. I'm sure they had to Google search
that.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, no, that one counts because they were Christian. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay, so, I mean, they're just so literally deplorable. Anyway, so that's Cernovich. I'm like, oh, that's random. And okay, but whatever, I get attacked. Nonstop, don't care, moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw another tweet mentioning something that Steven Crowder had done.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, he happened to do it the same. I watched the first couple that he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have long thoughts on that. Anyway, but then it's like all the same. And it's like, yeah. It's the worst crime as a so-called comedian. He's boring.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even when he did that stupid thing where he busted in and on my panel in Austin, same exact jokes over and over and over again until the crowd started getting restless. Like,
yeah,
this guy's so stupid. Anyway, so he did some new thing, which I guarantee you is the same exact thing as what he's done before. I'm like, okay, that's two. And then Paul Joseph Watson, I think that's his name.
Uh-huh.
He's like Alex Jones' number two guy, I think. I don't know, mm-hmm. right? And he was also attacking me. I'm like, oh, someone sent a memo.
Uh-huh.
That's fun. And so I was trying to figure out why somebody sent the memo. Hey, let's all get to some bitch, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think it's because I just did another Alex Jones video about his apology.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Alex is losing big time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so in the past, like his buddies, his acolytes, et cetera, would come in. The video would have like 4,000 likes and 3,000 dislikes because they all came at once, or 2,000,
yeah, yeah.
Or whatever it was, or 2,000, 2,000.
Yeah.
That video was like 4,000 likes and 400 dislikes.
Wow.
Uh-oh, they're losing, right?
Uh-huh.
Why are you losing Pennsylvania? Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's a real city. Anyways. So then I think they're getting mad. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? We're losing the crowd, right? They're beginning to realize we're total clowns.
Yeah, here's the thing though. I don't know most of the people that you mentioned. I know Steven Crowder. I haven't watched a single thing that he's done because he's pathetic. And so here's how you don't win an audience or how you don't compel people to follow your content or the work that you do. When you're sitting there stroking your dick to Cenk Uygur, right?
Oh,
like,
damn.
No, I'm just keeping it real. Like, that's all they do.
That
they
is
sit
a very
there,
uncomfortable thought.
But
for
it's true.
Involved.
They're like, oh, what's Cenk doing today? Oh, let me stroke my dick. Like,
oh,
that's,
Jesus
all they,
Christ.
That's all
I
they
think
do.
It's weird.
That's all they do. And it's so pathetic. I don't have time. I don't have time to worry about what they're doing. It's like Steven Crowder. Who the fuck is Steven Crowder? Who the fuck is Steven Crowder, right? I'm working on my career. Like I'm here. I'm in like a million places. I'm just trying to keep up with what's happening in the news because I want to inform people accurately. Like, I don't have time to do videos on Steven Crowder, okay? I don't diddle myself to Steven Crowder the way he masturbates to you. Like, get a fucking life, dude. It's insane, man. It's fucking insane. They have no life.
So then when he did that just a stunt in Austin, his number two guy, which is so sad if you're Steven Crowder's number two guy. Who's number two work for? Exactly what you think he does for. Anyway, he came up and took a picture with me or something. They're like, ha, he doesn't even know Steven Crowder's number two guy. You got him, took a picture with him.
Most people don't even know who Stephen fucking Crowder is, okay?
But I'm like, that's not a thing where you get me. That's a thing where I don't know who the fuck you are.
It's so pathetic.
Right. Pathetic. Anyway, so I'm not positive his name is Paul Joseph Watson, and he's at Prison Planet. Is Prison Planet the same thing as InfoWars, or is that slightly different?
Sounds like a great show.
I don't know.
Yeah, Prison Planet.
Okay, so no one here knows. Uh-huh. Okay, so, and he attacked, whatever, doing whatever. And then the bottom line was, I was like, oh, this is so funny. Nothing. Mm-hmm. There was no outrage. There was no Twitter storm. There was no nothing. Just kind of petered out. So they wanted the spotlight so bad.
Yeah.
But be careful what you wish for. Because once you get the spotlight, then it's like Alex Jones, for some people, might have made sense 30 seconds at a time, right?
Yeah.
But once you start seeing all of Alex Jones, you're like, whoa. Now, some people still stay with him, but at least half of his audience goes, whoa, I didn't sign up for that. That shit is crazy.
Look, right? I think even though, you know, sometimes I get frustrated and I call people stupid or whatever, I think people are relatively smart, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, I'm pretty sure that most people at some point can sense the inauthenticity, right, mm-hmm. of people like Alex Jones and whoever else is in that group of weird masturbators, right? Like, I think most people realize, like, this is a little too crazy for me. And you're right. I mean, back during our current days, going back to that, because you did interview Alex Jones back then, there was some common ground. He did make some sense, you know, and he didn't seem like he was, he still seemed kind of crazy, but he didn't seem absolutely insane.
No, well, so let me, real quick, we'll end on this. Two things about that. One, he always had madness. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. But you can say broken clock is right twice a day, yada, yada. Yeah. But like, it's hard to be wrong on every issue, right? So he would, like, he'd criticize the Bush administration on some things where he'd be like, oh, wow, hey, look at that. He's right about that, right? And that's how they get them in, by being a little bit right about this or that. So people go, wait, that part is true. And then they think, then the other part must be true, until they run into,
it is an alien force, not of this world. It's the devil, okay?
Okay.
We're under attack.
And then they're like, no, that part doesn't make sense. So partly I had him on the show in Current, because to see what the hell, because I wanted to see what the hell is going on, right? And then I went on his show and I thought, well, to return the favor, and I wanted to, and we, I knew that we'd have more time on his show. And I've told the story before. I went all the way down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, Alex, and then what happens? And then what happens? Because he's got this thing on the Bilderbergs and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. And then I'm like, look, if you're talking about the elites, there is such a thing. There are moneyed interests, multinational corporations, etc.
Right.
And they do legally bribe our politicians. That's right, they were under attack. Okay, all right. Okay, all right, Alex. Then in your version of that, what happens next? And he brings it down to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, these like ancient families who are no longer in power, who are like barely relevant. Uh-huh. But he doesn't want to say the Koch brothers, because that cuts a little too close to what the reality is.
Right.
Or the Waltons and et cetera, the real families that are in charge today. Anyway, and he goes, okay, then they murder 90% of us.
What?
I was like, what? No, Alex, like, you're kidding, right? I'm like, why would they want to murder 90% of us? Wouldn't the real conspiracy be that they want to make money off of the 90% of us? Wouldn't that be a smarter, more rational conspiracy where they have a bigger win than we all die? For what?
Yeah. He's crazy. Okay.
I want to go to space.
No, I want you to go to space too.
We totally agree on that.
Yeah.
So, and then once I got to that, to the conclusion, I was like, oh, okay, I'm done with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This guy's total lunatic, as we thought he might be. He's who we thought he was.
Right.
And then we were totally done with him and then we had the fun with the shirts and the ha ha, just kidding around. When he took his shirt off and was yelling at us, that was hilarious, right? Who thought he'd be relevant? But now we have an insane president who's a conspiracy theorist who thinks that he wants to go to space with Alex Jones. So now we're forced to cover him, even though we don't want to, right? And not like the mainstream media, which is funny, like, oh, now it turns out the American people are in favor of Alex Jones. Right. No, you schmucks. He has the same amount of audience. In fact, he probably has a slightly lower audience now, as I explained earlier. Yeah. But I don't know. Look, you'd have to look at the actual numbers behind it, right? And like, they always love to do the things where, oh, Young Turks is failing. And then our numbers are like skyrocketing. Anyways, of course, they're not attached to reality. Anyway, overnight, he didn't double his audience, triple his audience. He has this roughly the same audience, whether it went down a little bit or not. So his relevance is, or how big he is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But in the mainstream media, is, oh, no, that's it. Now he's gigantic. Before, I didn't know him at all, and he was non-existent, and I wouldn't even spit in his direction because he's not the establishment. Now, oh my God, what do you say, Alex Jones? And then they find out that he's crazy. They're like, wow, did you know he's crazy? Yeah, dude, we knew that. So, anyway, there we are.
We're not going to have Pepsi with baby flavoring in it. I mean, what the hell have we become? Excuse me.
All right, we'll end it on that. In fact, we'll end it on this.
That's the fight. That's the key. That's everything.
Good night and good luck.